I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand it? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Every other day of the week is fine, yeah.
So I'm convinced that the bakers of Kettle Corn are putting an illegal substance inside of it.
Yeah, yes. There are. If you know of a drug, it's probably there.
Taking it a step further.
No. I'm not holding back on this stuff. That stuff is dangerous.
I have a half a bag of Kettle Corn on my desk, and I'm glad I'm in here because I can't stop.
No, I will disappear your Kettle Corn free of charge. It's a service I offer. It's a unique service, and no one does it as well as me.
Investigation underway into Kettle Corn, by the way. The gray area, gray over there, Joel here, post-Flamborama. If I sound groggy, it was a fun weekend, but it was a long weekend. It's a long weekend and a lot of sunshine, but good times. Everybody a little tired this morning. When it's that nice out, Gray, and everything's going on, you just kind of feel obligated to be out and about and be a part of it. So
it would have been wrong. I mean, like, I've definitely wasted plenty of beautiful days inside, don't get me wrong, but Flamborama, the moment you start the day outside early-ish and you're there for the transition between the cold, dewy morning into the nice hot day, it's like, yeah, I'm doing what the human species is designed to do. My ancestors are proud. My descendants will benefit from this. We're staying outside today.
A true sign that it was a tremendously just a well-attended and great Flamborama weekend is with my wife, who goes for a walk every morning at about 8 o'clock or so, various patterns around town. She texted me about 15 minutes ago and had a picture of herself and a full can of Coors Light that she found laying on the sidewalk on one of her walks. This is a true sign. It was so much fun and so much abundance that someone decided it was just going to leave the can right there.
So every week, Joel, I think you say something that sends me off on a little mini tangent. And you nailed a memory of mine that I could not believe. And a lot of our listeners will have had the same experience I had from various kinds. But when you go, I mean, in little old Park Falls and you find a beer laying on the side of the road, that is only so weird. But it reminded me of the first time I was in La Crosse for Oktoberfest.
Uh-oh.
Now,
it's beer.
I don't drink. That's a thing that's been a thing for a while now. And so the first time I was in La Crosse for Oktoberfest, I was the only sober person in the city of La Crosse, I think. but regardless, we woke up early the Saturday morning of Oktoberfest after the whole town had hit it like a train for Friday night. And oh my goodness, walking down the main avenues of downtown La Crosse, I mean, we were right in the heart where a lot of people were living near campus, you know, a couple blocks off of campus. So it's all college kids all around us. I mean, we walked down the road and there were three houses in a row with screens tore off the porch. I was like, what? Why? There was a busted TV, an old tube TV. And keep in mind, this was 2016, 2017-ish.
Yeah, this is...
yeah. So, I mean, why was there a tube TV? Why was it? Somebody had taken a bat to it. How did I know? Because the handle of the Louisville Slugger... I mean, it looked like bad set dressing. Seriously. I mean, like, I think there was a tumbleweed, you know,
did you feel like you were on a movie scene, set?
Yes. It felt like a really badly designed movie set. Just like, let's tear the screens out, throw a busted TV over there. Let's have a drunk person's feet sticking out of the bushes and a wino walking down. So what we did was we went to Quick Trip. And we sat there at Quick Trip, which is the Quick Trip on the corner of La Crosse. And I don't remember what road, but it's La Crosse Street in La Crosse, right there next to campus. It's the main Quick Trip right there. And we just sat there in our car and we watched the zombies approach from every direction. Every sidewalk, which extend from that Quick Trip like a spider. And down every leg of that spider came the shufflers, the shamblers, the ones who shouldn't be breathalyzed right now. Give them a little time. Like, it was, wow, it was a heck of a thing to see.
The aftermath of Flamborama. And again, another sign it was a good Flamborama. My wife and I had to walk down to the Rec Arena at about 6 o'clock last night just to get my car. Like, sometimes cars just get left places when you're doing stuff. And two chairs still left over from the parade. Someone was so excited about the amount of candy that they got for the parade, or was just so enthralled with the next activity, they literally stood up from their chair in the parade and just left.
Yep.
Just left it there.
Jumped out of their seat and kept on going.
Kept on going. That's how good the parade was. We had a set of AirPods left behind at the cornhole tournament and a hat, if anybody knows who those are. But what a fantastic weekend. The Arts and Crafts Fair, I think that location was tremendous, and just a good weekend.
This
just
concludes the lost and found portion of today's gray area.
Yes, it does. I feel bad because they're a nice set of AirPods or EarPod, whatever they are. But I haven't found the owner yet, so I'm working on that. All right.
Use the radio, Joel. Use what you got.
That's what I do. That's what I do. The carnival was a big success. Good to see the Tilt-A-Whirl lives on. How much longer can the Tilt-A-Whirl live on? Huh? We've never gotten tired of the Tilt-A-Whirl, have we?
No. Well, I think it's probably the essence of the basics, you know? You've got a little bit of motion on three different directions, and do that, cool. You've got a ride. I think that is the standard. So I don't think it's going anywhere until something else appeals. Like, I think if we were to replace the Tilt-A-Whirl, it would probably be with a basic upgrade to the Tilt-A-Whirl, and it would still be essentially the same.
And I think the carnival is at threshold, because the Tilt-A-Whirl is the last ride I've ever ridden on a carnival.
Really?
And I think that might be the threshold, because I've never had a problem. I went on roller coasters at probably 10 different large parks, from Six Flags to Valley Fair, whatever. I love roller coasters. And I went on a Tilt-A-Whirl at a county fair many years ago after having a corn dog, and it was the first time in my life that I felt nauseous coming up.
Predictable story.
Here the we spin, go. Spin, 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 yeah. spin. No, that didn't happen, but I just felt sick. And when that was over, I thought to myself, okay, the Tilt-A-Whirl appears to be the threshold for an aging man of the Mother Nature saying, that's enough. That's enough. Just go ring the bell or play the sideshows. You don't need to be spinning anymore.
Motion sickness is one of the funniest things to me, because it's humans getting our just desserts. You know, we have a knack for... I mean, what existed in the world that could have caused motion sickness before we started tweaking with... like gas engines and stuff, and
other than your brother or sister hanging on to your hands and you spinning them around in a twirling way.
Right. I mean, like, we'll make ourselves dizzy pretty easily, but like motion sickness specifically exists because we've created things that our brain hasn't accounted for. You know, your brain thinks you're going one way, but it sees something that mismatches. Okay, so we're nauseous. Like, we did that to ourselves. Motion sickness is like us shooting ourselves in the foot in the name of progress, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Like, hey, we got airplanes. That's kind of neat.
Good carnival. Good to see the old bell ringing at the carnival. We just, for some reason, we just love to pick up a sledgehammer at a carnival and just see if we can make that thing go.
Somebody
way up
went
there.
Ham. I heard like three dings back to back to back at one point. Just ding, ding. I thought, okay, that's not me over there.
I made a discovery yesterday when I was at the booth, the 98Q booth. And Darla had purchased one of those battery-powered bubble machines that we had out there. You had it out there.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about.
It basically kept us distracted the whole day Saturday or Friday. I don't know what you're talking
about.
That
thing was so fun.
It was.
It's so fun. Just bubbles, man.
Yeah, I know.
It's happiness.
So I brought it out on Sunday, and I put it kind of to the west of us, kind of up the path a little bit, and let the wind blow it down. And I tell you what, almost instantly, I mean, kids of all ages dancing around the bubbles and people swatting at the bubbles, people ducking from the bubbles like it's a bullet coming at their head. They're like, oh, a bubble. But I've been doing these festivals for almost 40 years now, and it took me this long to realize just bring a bubble machine. That's all I need to do.
Yeah.
Just bring a bubble
machine. That's 100% part of the kit now. Like, realizing how much of a simple, tiny improvement that is on any boring space. You know, everybody played with bubbles as a kid, and there's almost no downside. I won't say there is no downside. You know, it might not be good for paint on cars and stuff, and I know there were certain booths that, yeah, right. But at the same time, you almost got to work to find the downside of a bubble machine.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd love the reaction. I mean, I told myself when I put the bubble machine out, I thought to myself, in the back of my mind, I'm like, it's going to take about 60 seconds for a 3-year-old to want to put his finger in that thing and figure it out. And that's about what it did.
Yep.
Some little kid came up and he was karate chopping the bubbles. And I thought to myself, there he is. And then it was plastic, so he wasn't going to hurt himself. But he just stuck his finger right in there, just like, I'm going to make you stop working right now.
Yep. Well, I mean, and the only exposed spinning piece on that thing is the very, very slow spinning bubble wand assembly. So it's like that thing is doing maybe half an RPM, so it's like there's no quick dangerous pieces, but there's nothing, no such thing as foolproof.
If you're having a family get together or something, or you're camping, simple little bubble machine, what was that thing, maybe 20 bucks. 20 bucks on eBay. Yep. battery
bucks.
Powered, you can buy like 20 gallons of bubble fluid for like a nickel. I mean, it doesn't even cost anything.
You're gonna get a sideways look if you buy 20 gallons of bubble fluid, though. People are gonna start asking whether you're blowing bubbles. I don't know what they might think, but I know I'd be asking questions.
Speaking of that, this Wednesday, the Park Falls Library is sponsoring an event. It's called Bubble Master Jimmy. Bubble Master Jimmy Stork is going to be in town. You want to meet him, don't you? I know you do.
I'm going to Google things.
He's
going to
be there Wednesday down at the park for kind of a fun day for the kids. So we'll mention more about that a little bit. Gray is so intrigued. So intrigued.
Bubble magic, Joel.
Bubble magic. So the food at the fair was fabulous. The pierogi was something a little bit different. They were from Florida. We had a chance. We had a chance to chat with them a little bit. They sold out of a lot of their stuff late Saturday night. So hats off to Courtney. Hats off to everybody who volunteered, all the people inside of the refreshment tent and everywhere and everything who made it happen. This was good. This was what Town Festival's all about.
They turned it up to 11 on all the food trucks, but that was not the only place where the effort showed. Holy man hours, Batman. Thank you, Courtney, Park Falls Chamber, Catkins, everybody.
So I want to know what happened on this date in 1987.
Oh, I baited you. You've bitten the hook.
I want to know.
Oh, so you've heard me talk about this. Honestly, this was me shoehorning in something that I just care a lot about, because I was going through my show for Trail Mix this morning, doing some research for history, and I thought I was going to have to talk about the death of a 60-year-old sea anemone, which occurred back in 1887, because I looked at history, and as usual, the list was full of tragedies, plane crashes, bomb, whatever. But then I saw that on today's date in 1987, you're going to hate me for this, this was the day that the Fairness Doctrine was rescinded. I will spend as little time on this as possible, but this was a rule that did two things. First of all, up until today's date in 1987, public broadcast stations, whether they were radio or TV, were required to dedicate a portion of their time to controversial topics of public interest. That makes sense. The second part of that rule was that you had to mention both sides of the story, especially if you pushed one of them mainly. So imagine you turned on Fox News today and you heard them talk about the merits of gun control. Mm-hmm. Or you turned on CNN today and heard them required to give time to the good that Donald Trump has done for the USA. Right. Like, just imagine that. Like, that was a world that we lived in for a minute. And at the time, they ditched it because it was seen as a limitation to free speech, which I totally get. Like, it's kind of burdensome to require an organization to give time for the disagreement. But it worked. Like, again, I get why they ditched it, but it ended exactly 38 years ago today. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I'm with you. It limited free speech a bit, but I think it's the perfect time to ask the question, was this the right move? Like, and believe me, I don't think that people should necessarily be going to that favorite three-letter org and then waiting for the disagreement portion to learn everything about a topic. But whoa, doesn't that sound like a a weirdly reasonable requirement in the taillights.
Well, the problem is nowadays, if you want to get both sides of the issue and the argument, you have to be proactive and go after the other side somewhere else. So you're not getting it right there. And that's the big problem. And now with the internet and with algorithms, once you start thinking a certain way or watching videos promoting whether you are for or against a candidate, your algorithm will start feeding you more of that, more of that. And then you live in this reality that, oh, this is the way everybody's thinking, because look at all this stuff. Everybody's getting this. Everybody.
Yeah.
No, you're getting it because you showed interest in it and you're not seeing the other side.
It's a heated term these days, but most social media now exists on the basis of building an echo chamber around you, specifically leaving out topics you disagree with, because then you spend more time and therefore you see more ads. That's what's pushing it all. And I'll never say advertisement on its root is bad, but this rule, the loss of the fairness doctrine, I'll call that a neutral thing that happened. So too is news going to the internet instead of newspaper. But there are side effects to both of those things. The side effect of losing the fairness doctrine, now organizations can simply choose not to report on a topic that doesn't fit their narrative, and they can spin things into the ground without having to give any time to the opposing view. That, I think everybody would agree, has some negative consequences. Combine that with news entering the internet space and leaving the digital paper space, well, now the things that motivate news channels have changed. They want to be seen by as many people as possible to get their ads out there and appeal to those advertisers,
right,
because they're not selling subscriptions anymore. Obviously, news on the internet's a good thing. It's quicker, but is it all good? Because now accuracy is not what separates news sources. It's interest, outrage, emotional investment. News is more emotional today than ever before because that's more profitable.
And in 1987, you were getting your news from the CBS Nightly News, from AM talk radio, and newspapers. That was pretty much, those were your ways you were getting information. You didn't have a phone where you could go on and see 8 million comments and trying to figure out, is that real? Is that not real? So it was a different world. It was a different world back then. And I can kind of understand why they did away with it. But now I think if they would have looked into the future to see what media is like now, they would have said, wait a minute, maybe that's not a good idea.
Right. Oh, no. And like I said, I think that is the definition of an adult decision, and it's a great opportunity for hindsight. Yes, I would love to look back and say they shouldn't have done that, but I think they made a reasonable decision with the information they had at the time. And like any decision, it had unforeseeable consequences in the future. But 1987, Reagan administration repealed the fairness doctrine. You used to have to say that there is another viewpoint out there in the world. You couldn't pretend that this was the only way to view a thing. And don't you just hate it when those people you don't like say this is the only way to view a thing? Me too. But are they the same group? You know, it used to work. I think there was a two-way road that existed, and that might be why we don't have a Walter Cronkite anymore. I think we depended on him because he was so neutral and dependable, but he was so neutral and dependable because we needed that. The nation needed it, and I think we depended on each other. And I think we no longer need to lean on that news source because we're all booted out of the nest and flying in very different directions. And it's like, all right, as long as we keep them in the air, they don't know they're about to crash, and we'll just, I don't know.
We do the sports version of the fairness doctrine coming up after the bottom of the hour news.
Greeple time.
But I'm going to let you reach in and pick the winner of our Brewer tickets. A lot of people dropped their name in the box for Brewer tickets over the weekend.
Is The Rock still in here?
Yeah, I think so.
This is a really heavy box full of papers.
I thought it was heavy, too. A lot of entries, though. Thanks for stopping by the booth. It was fun meeting and talking with everybody. This person's going to win a pair of Brewer tickets for a Brewer game toward the end of the year. We don't have many tickets left anymore. They're becoming a hot commodity.
I'm mix them up a lot.
He is mixing like a stroganoff about to boil.
I'll just leave those. The unlucky folks aren't going to win.
There's two people that won't win because your entries are on the floor. I can't see who you are.
That's not fair.
No, he's going to go get them now. All right. They're going back in.
Reminds me of that horrible teacher who throws away 20 tests because unlucky people don't get good grades. I don't think anybody ever actually.
All right, here we go, Gray. Here is the winner.
This is the winner.
And the name is?
The winner is Cody Campbell.
All right. Cody, we'll be in touch.
We've got your phone number, Cody.
More of the Gray Area coming up. It's 8:31 here on 98Q Country.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Texas was supposed to vote this afternoon on new congressional district maps, but Democrats have left the state.
Governor Abbott, in a late-night letter, said the walkout by Democrats amounts to an abandonment or forfeiture of an elected state office, and he threatened to remove Democrats from office if they don't return by 3 p.m. today. The Texas Attorney General has said lawmakers could be arrested.
And the House rules and the Senate rules both allow for these people to be arrested if they leave.
The Texas Republican Party calling Democrats cowards and demanding law enforcement hunt down those who think they are above the law.
ABC's Christiane Cordero. The newly drawn maps would likely hand the Republicans 5 more seats in Congress by splitting up highly Democratic districts. South Korea has begun removing loudspeakers that for years have blasted propaganda across to North Korea. A far-right Israeli leader praying at Jerusalem's most sensitive holy site on Sunday, triggering regional condemnation. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Austin Bermaine. Here's what Northern Wisconsin needs to know. A recent smart asset study has found that Price County has ranked 6th among all the counties in Wisconsin for places to retire. This study assessed 3 factors for counties across the U.S., which were tax friendliness, medical care, and social opportunities. Coming in first in Wisconsin was Richland County. Second was Sawyer, and third was Ozaukee. Price County comes in front of Wood County at 7th, and behind Kewaunee at number 5. Thursday, August 7th, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., there's a youth tie-dye workshop over at the Phillips Public Library. Registration is required, and you can register by stopping in at the front desk of the library or calling 715-339-2868. And each person will receive a bandana to tie-dye, or you can bring your own article of white cotton clothing from home. This is open to ages 7 to 18 and is brought to you at no charge. This workshop will be taking place outside, but the option of going indoors if there's rain is present. Once again, this is taking place Thursday, August 7th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. over at 286 Cherry Street in Phillips. And remember, either stop in person at the library before the event to register or call 715-339-2868. A Wisconsin county is currently being used as an example in the debate over illegal immigration. Savannah Tomielsen explains why.
The Dane County Sheriff's Office says a woman was driving drunk when she got into a crash that ended up killing 2 Minnesota teenagers. It happened July 20th in the town of Vienna, and the controversy began after the tragedy. The alleged drunk driver, 30-year-old Noelia Martinez, is here illegally from Honduras. So after her arrest, Immigration and Customs Enforcement asked the Dane County Sheriff's Office to put a detainer on Martinez. That would mean if she made bail, the sheriff's office would keep her in custody so ICE could start the process to deport her. The Dane County Sheriff's Office does not honor those detainers. They're a request and not legally binding. Instead, they wait for an arrest warrant signed by a judge. Sheriff Barrett.
This is about the process and not about politics.
That set off a firestorm. Barrett has now received criticism directly from the Department of Homeland Security. Assistant Secretary Tricia McLaughlin called Dane County a sanctuary community, and Wisconsin Congressman Tom Tiffany lashed out at Sheriff Barrett on X. I asked Barrett about that.
It's typical, right? It's very typical, very expected. They take one little thing, they harp on the word sanctuary city, and they're trying to turn it into something that it's not. I do know that there are extremes, and those that are on the extreme side of this are going to believe what they want no matter what. But I do know there's a significant amount of people that are in the middle that are going to listen to this and move towards understanding really what this is about and not be jaded by the political theatrics of this.
Barrett also said deporting Martinez would be like giving her a free ticket home instead of justice for the 2 lives lost. The next hearing in the case is September 22nd. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
I'm Austin Bermain. This has been Civic Media News on 98Q Country. For more news, visit 98QCountry.com or civicmedia.us.
The Brewers head to Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers open a series against the Braves. Milwaukee beating the Nationals yesterday 14-3 to complete a 3-game sweep. Manager Pat Murphy says adding new talent like infielders Anthony Ziegler, Caleb Durbin, or trading for Brandon Lockridge is keeping them competitive.
You look at Lockridge and Ziegler, and they don't have very many Major League ABs, so once again, I go back to their hunger. They want to impress. They want to be here. And then Durbin's been on the bench a couple days, so he's like, wait a minute. wait a minute, and that matters. You know, Ortiz finding himself. So all that is collectively healthy situation when you have young, hungry players.
NFL, the Packers taking a day off from practice. Then they get ready to host the New York Jets Saturday night. Overall, Matt LaFleur pleased with the work they got done on family night.
I think everybody's juices are flowing to get to our preseason games and get the Jets here next week.
That's the Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Looking for secure storage? Tascovia Storage has you covered. A brand new 80-unit storage complex in eastern Sawyer County opens July 1st. Choose from spacious 12 by 30 or 10 by 20 units, perfect for storing household goods, boats, motors, and more. Protect your valuables from the elements with monthly or yearly rental options. Reserve your unit now by calling Sharon at Biller Realty at 715-266-2412. Tascovia Storage is conveniently located at the intersection of County Road GG and Highway 70 in Loretta and Draper, Wisconsin.
Better begins with human kindness. It's in a smile, a listening ear, a helping hand. At Aspirus Health, better begins with knowing you and your family, learning your health journey and your health needs. Aspirus caregivers are here to listen and provide the personalized care you deserve. For when you need to be better, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence. Compassion for people.
Phillips Lumber and Hardware, your do-it-best store, is blooming with all your home and garden supplies so you can get all your projects going from start to finish.
Unlock big savings and add style and security to your home with high-quality Schlage door locks from Menards. Whether you're looking for a traditional interior lock or a Wi-Fi compatible electronic lock, Menards has you covered. With more than 200 options of Schlage door locks in stock, save big on all door locks. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Progressive presents Employee of the Month. Small Business Edition. Today's recipient from Lucky Larry's Landscaping, Larry! Larry saved his business money with a quick commercial auto quote from Progressive. Does it help he's his own marketing manager, accountant, executive assistant, and never been late? Technically, yes, but saving really put him over the edge. So, Larry, give Larry a round of applause. Be your own Larry. See if you could save in as little as 8 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
We have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires happening today. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a high right around 79 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop to 58 for a low. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Speaking of the fairness doctrine in just a moment, but I want to correct myself. This whole bubble big event, family event with the Park Falls Library is tomorrow at Old Bay Park, downtown Park Falls. There's kids ages 6 and younger from 10 to 10:45, and ages 6 and older from 11 o'clock to 11:45. It is Bubble Master Jimmy Stork. Tomorrow at the Old Abe Memorial Park, or downtown Park Falls. All right, here's a fairness doctrine thing that should really be addressed. How does a sports state with four major sports, hockey, baseball, basketball, football, go 33 seasons without even having a team in a title game? 33 consecutive years without even having a team make it to the championship game, Stanley Cup Finals, World Series, Super Bowl. It's a foursome.
Stanley Cup.
Baseball, football, basketball, NBA Finals. So 124 seasons total between the four major sports, with no finals since 1991. And that, of course, is the state of Minnesota. They say the state of Minnesota is the most tortured sports fan base in the country.
I wouldn't disagree. I mean, I don't spot a reason. You know, it takes a lot of stars to miss a line for this to.
They say that you could randomly have chosen a team in those four major sports during those 33 years, and you would have had a better chance, one in 8,979 chance of making the finals. It would have been better. It's just a low chance.
Yeah, this is statistically unlikely.
And then you stack in, of course, some of the stories and the pains that the Vikings have had of being close, the Brett Favre interception, the Gary Anderson missed field goal, and you just stack on top the number of times that they were almost there. The Minnesota Wild were in the were deep into the playoffs. So yeah, it's the most tortured fan base of a state with all four major sports. Now Wisconsin doesn't have hockey, of course. So it's not included in that base, but that's the longest run of any city with four sports. So
I'm just waiting for the tears, Joel. When are you?
I didn't realize it was that long. I was just, you know what? As a Minnesota fan, I've always been happy just to have a competitive season because I enjoy following the team. And when, like, the Minnesota Twins are stinking this year and they're out, it's disappointing because now it's just like, I don't want to watch that. That's why I enjoy following the Brewers now. And even when your football team, you get so excited about the football season. You're like, oh, football season. Then you're 0-4. It's just like, oh, when's Christmas?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I mean, it's like you're let down. At least the Vikings have been there and competitive almost all of those 33 years. So that, I'll take that.
I think the closest we've come, Jordan Love's first year as a starter a couple seasons ago, he went 5 games in a row. I think we lost in the middle of the season, and I don't know. I almost broke out the cigar for the end of things. You know, it was. I didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel anymore. It was. I mean, that was 5 games, Joel. That was 5 games. Yeah. I look forward to your renaissance.
Birthday wishes to Karen Campbell, by the way, today. Karen, happy birthday to you from Claire. We'll put your name in for the cake drawing coming up on Friday. Really no significant news as far as the Packers go. I mean, every once in a while you get a quarterback or something, like Fields who got hurt, stuff like that, but nothing major, right, for
no.
the Packers?
Marshawn Lloyd had a soft tissue injury that's being regarded as probably minor, and they think it happened before the hit in question in practice, where that's getting some attention. Most notably for the Packers, this past weekend it was family night. You hear Mike Clemens reports on that. I believe he's mentioning that today a couple times, so you'll hear his take and the deep insights from Mike Clemens. For my part, what I've seen is Omar Brown, safety Omar Brown, coming from the back of the pack of young defensive backs, snagging 3 interceptions in a family night performance that will certainly get him some attention, but that can happen without being a sign of good things. You know, he might not make the roster. That said, keep an eye on Omar Brown. He's now a name that has a spotlight on him that he didn't have before, and that's one of the fun things about family night. Somebody can pop off, and maybe that'll get him a roster spot on another team, for example.
Some people think that the reason why the Minnesota Vikings are cursed is because downtown Minneapolis is a spiritual land that they stole. So, see, when they were out at the Met Stadium, they were in 4 Super Bowls out there. They didn't win any. And since they moved downtown, they've had nothing, no Super Bowls. So they think that there's a curse on there and that they need to have a spiritual letting. Otherwise, it'll never happen for them, is what they believe.
I'll tell you straight. You want to talk about stolen land, you're going to have a long conversation. Oh, it's not going to be anything but complicated. But, like, hey, if that's – you want to go back, all right. All right. Oh, McGraw-Hill, that old – let's dust off those 1995 textbooks, even though those ones that were sugar-coated weren't too pretty, I will say. So, yeah, if that's why the Vikings are bad, I don't know how other teams have avoided the issue.
Yeah, exactly. But I've always said to myself, you know, the Viking mascot, you know, it's fun and all that stuff. But when you look into the history of what a Viking is, it's just, they're just not good people. And there was some, I mean, there was probably some that were good. But even like the Raiders and the Buccaneers, just like, they were pirates. They were just like nasty. It's just like, how about do we something good attached to it.
As usual, history is more complicated than any boiled down version of it, but people like to think they've got Viking ancestors and that gives them connection to a warrior class or some sort of deeper masculinity of some kind that's take the space that's not left for you and grab what you need. And I mean, like, there is absolutely a benefit to being an assertive person, but if you look at Vikings and you think that violence is the part of your connection, I don't want to hang out with you, especially because you're not looking very deep at history and who the Vikings actually were as a people. And as a people, that means there were also women and children and non-combatants, and they made some really cool contributions to art and literature and poetry. The poetry of Scandinavian countries, not limited to those who would have called themselves Vikings, is awesome, and a lot of it had to do with the mentality of battle and why they fought. So if you're going to look at Vikings and say, yeah, those are my powerful ancestors, a couple of them were, but they were motivated by some really strong family connections and ties to the homeland and like some really true, like the patriotism that wasn't diluted by the prophet behind it. So there's some really cool things to be found there. But yeah, anytime I see like there's definitely a flavor of it that's trendy right now. It's like, I worry why you like Vikings.
Instead, you got to link your team to a toilet paper factory. That's what the Packers are, the old paper factory. There you go.
To the paper factory. No, connect with your heritage, though. If that's your family root, research it deep. Don't pick the part of it that you love and make your personality that.
We put a link of a 98Q Country Facebook page. Check it out. Our guy Mike Clemens, who we talk to every week, was on the field, and he has a really cool video of the fireworks from Saturday night's family night. If you weren't there, Mike, of course, is he can go anywhere he wants, and he can literally like walk behind the counter at a concession stand and just grab a hot dog if he wants to.
Well, yeah,
he's right on the field. Cool video on our 98Q Facebook page.
This video was taken from the roof of his office, also known as Lambeau Field.
Yeah,
his office is under the field. He's right there. I think he is there a cot or a bunk?
Probably,
a barrack? Is it a barrack at that point? I'm thinking Mike Clemens spends a lot of time where you and I daydream all the time.
Yeah, he's got an office. I want to go there. I just want to go there, sit in his office with him, a little stogie, and just talk sports. So I feel the nostalgia is what I want to do.
The team that controls Lambeau Field, just very briefly, they told a story about where they used to be before there were some renovations that took place. Their door used to be, the back control space for all of the field was next to some facilities, some bathroom facilities, and their door they wouldn't lock it because they needed a lot of quick ins and outs for their crew. So people would pop in thinking it was a bathroom all the time in the main control space of all of Lambeau Field, like the room that hit all the buttons for those fireworks on family night. Imagine people are just poking in there looking half inebriated in many cases, just looking for a loo.
I didn't even mention the Darren Nelson. I didn't even mention the Darren Nelson drop of the ball at the end zone in the NFC Championship game. Did you know that 1987, the Minnesota hosted the World Series? They hosted, I believe it was the U.S. Open. They hosted the Final Four, and they hosted the Super. That was the year they hosted the Super Bowl, and they almost ended up being in their stadium in the Super Bowl. They were good that year.
And that was the year that all the athleticism was collectively squeezed out of the state, and you've never sniffed a championship since then.
Yeah, everybody had success, except for the Vikings. They just got like right out the end of the tube.
That was 38 years ago, so that's right about the time that the curse took effect.
Should I talk to this person, see what they want?
I recommend that's something wise, I bet. I'm not important. So.
All right. 98Q, who's this?
Hey, this is Ken Kazuba.
Hey, Ken, how you doing?
Mama.
Hey, Ken, how you doing? How you doing?
I'm doing.
Yeah, what's
up? It's all good. Did you guys get a chance to stick around for the final of the softball tournament?
Yeah, I saw part of the game a little bit. It sounded like you had a wild finish out there, it looked like.
A bunch of young guys. They had won in the past junior varsity, and they had to win two to win the championship, and they did just that.
Yeah, exactly. A good weekend out there. You got a little Brewer post-game show in from the park out there. What a beautiful weekend, Ken.
The crowd around the diamond all weekend was outstanding. So we had hundreds of people that were there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But, you know, that was a weather thing, in my opinion. You know, when the weather's so nice, people just want to come outside. And, you know, you had the parade yesterday, so we had a great crowd that streamed in after the parade like we normally do. So really worked out well. I know Henry was quite happy with the turnout, and the ball teams were happy. It was a lot of good competition, especially on Sunday. When you weed out some of the lesser teams and you get to the better teams on Sunday, it really makes it for some enjoyable softball to watch.
Yeah, Ken does a post-game show on 97.3, the game out of Milwaukee after every Brewer game. So give us a quick feel of the Brewers. They got a few injuries now, but still playing well over the weekend. And this team is on the track, aren't they, for something special?
And they are. Well, what's so amazing about them, here you have one of your top guys in Jackson Chourio gets hurt. He's going to be out a month. They still don't miss a beat. What do they have, 63 hits in 3 days over, I think it was something like that. It was in the 60s.
Yep.
So look what they did yesterday. Put up 14 runs. My goodness, I mean, the pitching staff is lights out, and the way this team just keeps overcoming injuries, it's pretty incredible. That's a credit to the minor league system and to the general manager as a whole, the way that this Brewer team operates and how they get their players ready to step up to the big leagues coming from the minors.
Yep, exactly. Well, Ken, we appreciate all the time and effort you put into making that softball tournament a special one out there. So we appreciate you and look forward to having you back again next year.
Well, I look forward to coming back. It's a great town, great community. The Flamborama is always a fun time, and I'm in the area. I'm over in Mercer, so I pop over, or actually I should say Manitowish Waters, but I pop over quite often, so I do a lot of fishing and hunting in the area as well, so I'll be around. We'll see you guys soon, but looking forward to the 73rd annual Flamborama. I appreciate the time, and you guys have a great Monday.
You too, Ken. Thank you, Ken Kazuba. He's the guy you hear on the up on the PA at the softball game doing the play-by-play of stuff that's going on. Does a When the Brewers games end, he does a post-game show on 97.3 The Game out of Milwaukee, and he has a lot of fun with that with the guys. So
cool.
He's right there.
That's a cool random pop-up here.
Yeah, yeah. I had a chance to go up in the booth with him on, I think it was Friday night, and chatted with him a little bit and distracted some of the players. I think one guy committed an error because of me, I think. The bases were loaded. I called a home run, so whoever it was that hit the gapper and cleared the bases, good enough, all right? We're good. As long as you didn't pop up or strike out or something. But could you imagine being at a small-town softball tournament, you step up to the plate, and some sarcastic morning show DJ comes on the booth and says, "I'm calling it. He's going to hit a home run grand slam." He's probably thinking to himself, "Really? What's this guy? Really?
You're going to miss that putt."
So before we wind it up, last time we talked, Happy Gilmore 2. You shut it off a half hour into it and didn't give it a chance, and I was borderline insulted by that. Are you considering giving it a chance?
Yes.
Have you given it a chance?
No. Yes and no to those questions. Yes, I'm considering it. No, I have not. We probably will take another run at it, but man, that was a sour taste in my mouth. It's like, I don't need you to show me Happy Gilmore 1.
Well, it's a long time ago.
No, we watched it right before we played Happy Gilmore 2.
Well, you did.
I bet a lot of other people did too. I bet there's a significant portion of people are like, we just watched this. We're watching it again. What are we doing here?
Yeah, but there were parts of it that I didn't realize talking with my son over the weekend. The guy who played the big, tall, goofy guy who did the James Bond movies too at the end, who was running after Shooter McGavin.
Yeah.
The character in Happy Gilmore 2, during the movie they said it was his son, but it obviously wasn't. But that was an NBA player, a 7'4" NBA player that my son and I, Blake and I, got to see when we had courtside seats at the Timberwolves a few years ago. The guy's huge. The guy literally can stand just flat-footed and dunk the ball, just reach up and dunk the ball. So he's a former NBA player that played the big goofy character in Happy Gilmore 2.
So in the first one, it was the guy who like had the nail in his head and stuff.
Right.
That was an actor named Richard Kiel.
Okay. Yeah.
And Richard Kiel was 7'2".
Yeah.
He passed in 2014.
He was in some Bond movies.
Yes.
As the big.
He played
villain.
Jaws. He was Jaws with the metal teeth.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing. Like, yeah.
That's a mixed life right there, because you know that people were not kind to somebody like that growing up. But also, hey, I hope you made a lot of money at least. At least you could cash in on the back end, man. Because, wow.
There were so many celebrities in the Happy Gilmore, too. And there were a lot of family members. And Adam Sandler was just adamant about who he wanted to be in that movie. John Daly was not going to be in that movie. He's had a lot of health issues, which was predictable in the last 20 years. But he's going through some tough times, and he wanted John Daly to be, just a quick story. Apparently, Adam Sandler wanted to help John Daly with some of his medical costs, but his family didn't want him to, apparently. Hmm. And so Adam Sandler found a way to bring John Daly in to the movie and pay him a lot of money to help him for his medical costs, kind of back channel a little bit.
Yeah, I'm thinking John Daly is my golf consultant. He's also our recreational supervisor while we're there. I can give him like six titles. He's also my swing speed motivation critique specialist.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna pay him to stand there and say swing harder. It's John Daly. I'll listen.
He was on screen for 2 minutes 54 seconds, I think I saw, and I think he made a few million off it. And that movie is gonna make several million dollars. It's gonna make a lot of money.
I've seen him in I watch a decent amount of golf YouTube, and a few different YouTubers have caught John Daly and gotten him to play around in a video with. I don't know, maybe he's doing that on a cheap paid basis or something like that, but the vibes are still great. It still seems like a good time to hang out with John Daly, but yeah, health not so much.
Yeah, he's never stopped living the way he's lived his whole life, and it's going to get him here.
Oh yeah, those videos of around with John Daly, he's got a can in his hand and it's got a blurred label on it every time. John's got choices.
But then
to
he
make.
Steps up and hits it. Well, I don't think he can hit it 300 anymore, but he still just has that hand eye contact ability and can just step up and hit a golf ball wherever and whenever he wants.
He's a pro athlete that looks a lot like you and me.
Exactly. All right, folks, have a great week, Ray.
We'll try.
Thanks for being a part of this. The Gray Area with Joel Karnick here, Greg Gunderson over there. We always archive it for you at 98qcountry.com.